director and vocalist known as the Prince of Cool, the James Dean of jazz. Born to be Blue, the new critically acclaimed film about Chet Baker, the Art Theater of Long Beach, voted the number one independent theater in Los Angeles. Put it all together and you have an incredible upcoming KPFK Film Club event starting April 22nd, running for 2 weeks. Critics have trumpeted Ethan Hawke's performance in Born to be Blue as jaw-dropping, of Oscar-worthy intensity. Ethan Hawke plays Chet Baker the way Chet Baker played the trumpet. So, if you are a KPFK Film Club member, you'll want to call the switchboard at 818-985-2711 to reserve a pair of tickets, which are limited and subject to availability. And please don't forget to thank the Art Theater in Long Beach for supporting the Film Club at your favorite independent radio station, KPFK.
Hi there, this is Sally Kirkland, and you're listening to KPFK, radio powered by the people, fiercely independent, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles.
Welcome to Arts in Review, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. This is your host, Julio Martinez. Today, I welcome actress, writer, performer Stacy Chaikin and director Pamela Berlin, discussing Chaikin's new solo play, which will premiere this weekend at Los Angeles Theater Center in downtown L.A. under the auspices of the Latino Theater Company. Please stay tuned to Arts in Review. Stacy, I have a question I never thought to ask you before. How do you pronounce the name of this play? Let me take a stab at it. The Dig, Death, plus Genesis, plus the Double Helix. Is that the way it works?
I don't usually say the pluses. I say The Dig, Death, Genesis, and the Double Helix.
Ah, okay. For future people who are going to interview you, you might want to specify that. And this is a play you've written. You're going to be performing. You're the sole cast of the play, directed by a lady I've never met before, Pamela Berlin.
Hello.
And you just intimated you are actually from New York?
That's right.
Did she fly you in for this?
LATC flew me in.
We've
been
wonderful.
Working on the play together for 6 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I think the erudite KPFK audience would like to know the genesis of this. Can you sort of bring us up to date on how the project came to be?
Yeah, I'll start. In 2003, Ruth Rausch and her husband John Rausch saw the Looking for Louie at Stages Theater Center in Hollywood, and they called me on the phone and said, can we talk to you? And I said, yeah, you can talk to me. So I went to their house the next night, and they asked me if I'd like to write my next play in Israel. They actually asked me if I would be willing to write my next play in Israel. And I didn't have any family in Israel or any really real connection to Israel. So I thought, well, it's really close to Egypt. I'd love to go to Egypt. You know, what happened was that, of course, it was the middle of the Intifada. There was a tremendous amount of violence between the Israeli and the Palestinian people at the time that I was there.
What year was this?
This was 2003.
Okay.
So I was there on and off between 2003 and 2005. While I was there, I was looking for something to write about, and I wound up going to a place called Beersheva, where there's an archaeological dig. And at the opening, the entry to the dig, there was a map of all the strata of civilizations that had been there. You know, one civilization was there, and another one came in and smashed it. The next one, you know, decimated that one, and so on and so on. And my mother had just died after a long illness, and there was a strong rhythm of just emotional violence in the matrilineal line of my family that had come down, you know, from my mom's mom, who's the only one I knew, to my mom, to me. And I said, that looks a lot like my family, you know. And that was sort of my way in. And then I was able to go on a bunch of digs and do a lot of research while I was there on the ground. And like I do, I came back to the States in 2005. I put together an initial draft, which I read in December 2006 at Boston Court. And I heard back from people, you know, what they thought about that, what they had heard and what I'd written. And then I did a rewrite, and I kept doing that for, you know, as I do for years and years. And in 2009, I was invited to do a half-hour version at a theater called Theater 3 on, 43rd and 8th.
Yeah.
In New York, as part of a festival, a friend of mine, a playwright, Laura Maria Sansabella, I think she had an idea that Pam and I might be a good match. And she'd been hearing the play for years. She brought me to see something that Pam directed at Ensemble Studio Theater, and we were talking afterwards. And what I told you about the play seemed interesting to you.
Right, we were standing in the lobby after... Stacey had seen my play and said, I'm here to do a reading. What is this play about? And as she started describing it, it sounded fascinating to me. So I then said, can I come to the reading? She said, sure. So that's how it started. After the reading, I went up to her and I said, if you don't have a director attached yet, let's work on this and see if we get along.
So this has been evolving for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have been doing performances of the work in progress.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. It's how I find out what we've got. And in fact, you know, since Pam and I have been working on it, Pam's been here twice, once for a reading at Skylight, the incubator series. We did a reading there. And then we did another developmental reading here in November, I think.
Right.
At LATC. I've gone there. We've read it twice at the LARC, Play Development Center in New York. And then Pam and I have just, you know, grabbed a few weeks at a time over the course of the years, just to work together on the
Now, this will be the official opening. You started previews on April the 1st, and you've been previewing through the first week in April. And the official opening is Saturday, April the 9th.
Saturday, April 9th, yeah.
And there it is.
And there it is.
And for the audience to know, I mentioned the L.A. Theater Center. They are the management company of the L.A. Theater Center in downtown L.A. under the guidance of their director, Jose Luis Valenzuela. And they have been there for about 12 years,
mm-hmm.
actively producing works.
Mm-hmm.
I find it interesting because last week I had Bennett Guillory here on the air, who also was a resident of L.A. Theater Center with his Roby Theater Company. And they have a new play opening.
No, it's very exciting. There are three plays going on now, you know, and the lobby before the shows is full of people.
And then there's sometimes salsa dancing afterwards. But
mm-hmm. Little salsa, little horror, little, you know.
Pamela, can you tell me about yourself? I know all about Trey. I actually saw Looking for Louie many years ago, and she came on my show to talk about it.
Right. I didn't grow up in New York, but I've lived there for a long time, over 35 years, and I've directed a lot of new plays, the ones you've probably heard of. I did the original production of Steel Magnolias, to Jillian on her 37th birthday, Crossing Delancey, and others. And I also work a lot regionally. So
you just worked on works in progress.
Mm.
I am kidding. That's quite a nice track record.
Yeah.
And I take it you prefer to be based in New York?
I do. And I have a family there. Yeah. It's home. It is definitely home. But I love to get out and work around the country, too.
From what you both have said, it begs some questions. First of all, I'm wildly curious why this couple wanted someone to write a play in Israel.
That's a really good question. I mean, I think they had a great love of Israel. They had most of the work that they were doing. This is John and Ruth Rausch and the Center for Jewish Culture and Creativity. Most of the work they were doing was with musicians. They were a lot of exchanges, bringing Israeli musicians here, American musicians there. But there was something I think that they saw in Looking for Louie. At the end of the play, there's this whole sort of elegant question about what is forgivable in the Jewish tradition. This is me making stuff up, but I think they were just looking at artists whose work they liked to go there and make something, make anything, because I have to say they were the purest and most generous of patrons, because they never asked me what I was writing. They never, you know, our politics were completely, at odds.
If the audience could see your hand language.
My hands are,
sort of apart from one another.
John was a gracious, gorgeous human. He's no longer with us, which is why he's past tense. But and he was an Austrian survivor. He came with his family. They escaped. They escaped the European Holocaust, came to Boyle Heights, and this was the middle of the Bush administration. And his allegiance was very much on the side of our current government, which mine was not. In terms of the war on terror and all the kinds of stuff that were going on in the Middle East, and my views were oppositional to that, and yet he trusted me to make something that would have a value. You know, it was an extraordinary patronship.
This play is, I take it, one act. There's no intermission. Is that correct?
Right. It's about 75 minutes without intermission. Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the play, will the audience truly understand what the title means? The Dig, Genesis, the Double Helix, and the Double Helix?
Yes, I think they will. All those things are included. And it's a dig that exists on a number of levels, a literal archaeological dig, but also a very personal journey for the character who's narrating. Stacy is not herself. She plays a character named Sally, who's an American archaeologist. So I would say yes. But one of the beauties of the play is that there are no easy answers. So I think people will understand the meaning of dig, but they're, you know, it's not conclusive, as it were, because it's a very complicated situation.
Is your family dynamic inherent within the play, Stacy?
My personal family dynamic?
Yes.
This is really a fiction, you know, and just so people out there know what the play is about, it's about an American archaeologist who is summoned to a dig in Jaffa. And Jaffa is an ancient town at the southern tip of Tel Aviv. The Israelis have found something buried deep below the Armenian monastery in Jaffa, and she's the only person in the world who can tell them what it is. Her expertise is ancient DNA, and her mother just died, and there's a lizard in her bathtub. You know, in Looking for Louis, you get a character named Stacy, you know, who is kind of telling a true story, one of those true stories that is kind of true. This is more fully a fiction. Of course, I write about what I know about.
Just so the KPFK audience can be brought up to speed, this is Julio Martinez, the host of Arts in Review. And in studio, I have writer-performer Stacy Chaikin, director Pamela Berlin, and we're discussing Stacy's new solo work, The Dig, Death, Genesis, and The Double Helix, which opens on Saturday, April the 9th, at L.A. Theater Center in downtown Los Angeles. And you're running through, if I'm correct here, May the 1st.
That's it.
Actually, I got that right.
Yeah.
And the number to call for tickets and information is 866-811-4111. I'll do that again. 866-811-4111. Or you can go to online ticketing at www.thelatc.org. And you're listening to us here over KPFK 90.7 FM. Or if you're in Santa Barbara, congratulations. You're listening to us over 98.7 FM. And if you're in a dig in Jaffa, you're listening to us stream around the world, worldwide, over the internet, in real time. So I'm got curious about something else I read. You're going to have some post-show discussions.
We are.
April the 3rd, Dr. Reuven Firestone of the Hebrew Union College. On the 7th, Aziza Hassan, The New Ground, a Muslim-Jewish partnership. April 9th, our faithful Jose Luis Valenzuela, Artistic Director of LATC. On the 10th, oh, I know this lady, Ruth Weinberg from USC. On the
Ruth 7th, Weisberg. Yeah.
Weisberg.
Yeah.
I spelled it wrong. And April 17th, David N. Myers, UCLA. 18th, Rabbi Sharon Brous. And April 28th, Dr. Tiffany Anna Lopez. So all these people will have different kind of perspectives.
I think so. I think each one of them will bring their own lens to the play. Dr. Firestone was there on Sunday, and he has a dual expertise, medieval Judaism and Islam. And he's a guy who flies around the world talking to people about, you know, solving, looking at fundamentalist Islam and trying to figure out how to address it and how to understand it. So that's who he is. I was very grateful that the first thing he said was, I fact-checked it all, she's right, is the first thing he said. You know, but that's the lens he brings to it. And a lot of people in the States, and in Los Angeles don't know a lot about Islam and don't know a lot about that dynamic in that part of the world. So I think he was able to address that.
A very good friend of mine who I went to college with, Ron Saucy.
I know Ron, yeah.
He's the artistic director. He once said he would rather direct Our Town than a one-person play written by the performer. So how do you insert yourself into this very, very, very personal work?
Right. Well, you know, first of all, our working on this together for so long, I would say, speaking of DNA, I mean, this play has seeped into my DNA, and I think we have also developed over time an extraordinary kind of relationship around the play, the text, which is what we were working on together for so many years, until finally we've gotten it up on its feet in the last month. But, you know, I think that's really helped. I've directed a number of one-person shows, and they are an enormous challenge, you know, to keep things interesting and moving and flowing and all of those sorts of things. I mean, it would actually probably be interesting to hear from Stacy what it's like to work with a director on a piece like this because, you know, you've spent God knows how many years writing it. You know, part of it has been finding out who this character Sally is, who is different from Stacy. And yet there's a lot of Stacy in her. So that's been part of our mission. But also finally having the elements of a set and lights and sound and projections and animation has really helped to contribute, you know, to finding the piece with one person.
So you have had a couple of performances, preview performances, four preview.
We've done four.
Four preview.
Yeah.
So before this existed, you were sort of out there blowing in the wind. So once you started performing, were you surprised where the reactions were, like where the laughs were and weren't, or where the gasps were?
Yeah, I just want to address some, you know, what Pam has done. Pam and a brilliant team of stage artists led by Yael Pardes, who's an Israeli living in Los Angeles, have created a world for this play, Julio. I mean, I've spent all the development time just getting up on a stage and just, you know, it's just me. And now I'm in a full world surrounded by unbelievable sound from Tim Labor and these gorgeous projections from Dmitry Khmelnitsky. And it's a whole dance now. It's a whole dance in a world. Matt Johns did an unbelievable job of lighting that tiny space with, you know, maybe 10 instruments.
The set is an excavation of an archaeological site.
Wow.
It's
That's
gorgeous.
What it is.
And
it's
you
so
really feel as though you are in it.
Which space are you
We're
performing?
Down in the gallery. We're
the
down
99 seat.
We're down in the 99 seat gallery theater, which, you know, with all those concrete pillars, and Yael has created a whole world that feels like it actually belongs there.
The amazing thing is audience comes in and they think that we lucked out because here we had this amazing set waiting for us. They don't realize that it was built because it looks as though it absolutely belongs in the space.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's amazing.
It's pretty amazing.
It's so amazing.
Yeah.
You know, which makes my job incredibly easy. It makes my job incredibly easy.
So, which brings me back, were you surprised at the audience reaction? So,
I'm not going to say surprised. I'm going to say we've had four with an audience. Each one of the four have been completely different as they need to be, as every night will be, because the audience is the wild card. They're my scene partner, and who knows what's going to happen. So I remain curious as opposed to surprised. I just remain curious as to how things are landing. Obviously, you know, like what people think is funny, what they don't think is funny. The theater is small enough so I can hear people breathe.
Uh-huh.
And I'm close enough to them so they actually, they'll gasp or they'll say, uh-huh, or they'll say, you know, whoa, or those, you know, they'll talk to me. I mean, nobody's actually said, excuse me, I have something to say to you. But
although they do after every single audience, people have stayed and stayed and stayed after, whether there's been an official talk back or not. They want to ask questions. They wander around and look at the set. So
it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
So, Pamela, how long are you here for?
Like most directors, after opening night, you're shipped out. So I go back to New York Sunday, the day after our opening.
She
abandons me.
Do you have another project you're going to
begin? I have two things coming up. I'm doing a play at New York University in their graduate program, and then a play at a theater in Pittsburgh where I've worked a lot.
Pittsburgh Playhouse? No.
Pittsburgh Public Theater.
Public Theater.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The show, and then you're on your own, Stacey.
She's leaving me. Ah!
have there been little nips and tucks in the play during the course of the previews?
I would say full liposuction and whatever you do to put it back together. Yeah, no, even in the past, in the past week, we've taken whole chunks out. The neat thing is that once I'm inhabiting it the way I'm inhabiting it now, we can really tell what works and what doesn't. You know, on the page, me reading it, it seems like a good idea. That's very nice writing. We should leave it there. Once it's on its feet, if something doesn't belong there, it'd be gone. And, and I think both of us have been pretty brave about letting go of stuff that, you know, has been sort of there for a long time.
So, yeah, it has definitely evolved even over the last four performances, previews.
Mm-hmm.
Things have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you now officially have a one-person show. It's going to open officially. That makes it legitimate. So what's the future? Do you plan to take it somewhere?
Yeah. I would love to take it back to the set is based on a theater in Jaffa, which was which I played in when I was there, and which is the inspiration for the set. I'd love to take it back to the theater in Jaffa. There's an old theater in Jerusalem called the Khan Theater, and then there's a theater up in Akko, which is an Arab town in the north of Israel, where there are beautiful old spaces. You know, that's a vision. And, of course, to do it wherever, it's about stuff that I think is important. It's about how we, if the violence, like in that land, is generational, and if that conflict seems intractable, meaning impossible to end, what the play asks the question, is there any way to change it? Just like the whole thing about the double helix and the DNA, is there things that are inherited from generation to generation? Is there a way to, you know, rewrite the code? And that's basically what I'm asking in this play. It's a story, and it's accessible, it's funny, and I think it's a play that I would like to take anywhere where there's an opening for it.
It seems inherent, I haven't seen it yet, but I am going to, that it seems inherently there is the possibility of tension from the audience, tension from certain members of the audience, that there might be, is there any kind of political environment that it might create?
I would say it creates a lot of discussion. I don't think necessarily anger, at least so far, but people want to talk about it, and it means different things to different people. That has been clear, which I think there's no more wonderful thing than that, because it exists. You know, you can look at it politically, very personally, sociologically, psychically, philosophically. It really exists on all those levels. People talk about that.
Yeah, when I came back to the States in 2005, the polarity around Israel was huge. I think I've spent the past 10 years trying to find a heart-driven way into this story. It's about the heartbreak of that situation. And if we find our way in through heartbreak, then everything's political. But that's the road I'm on.
I want to do this commercial one more time. This is Julio Martinez for Arts in Review, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. My in-studio guests have been writer-actress Stacey Chaikin and director Pamela Berlin, discussing Chaikin's new work, The Dig, Death, Genesis, and the Double Helix, which is premiering this Saturday, April the 9th, at L.A. Theater Center under the auspices of the Latino Theater Company. And it's going to be running through May 1st. And for reservations, you can call 866-811-4111 or go online to www.thelatc.org, www.thelatc.org. I want everybody to stay tuned to this Arts and Culture Hour, because following me is Pacifica Performance Showcase, produced and hosted by Donna Walker. And just to remind you, you, our audience members, are the only reason we exist on the air, coming to you over 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara, and anywhere in the world over www.kpfk.org. I want to thank you all for supporting KPFK. I want to thank you, Stacy and Pamela, for coming in studio. And we will, God's willing, be back next week. Thank you. And this is your host, Julio Martinez. I'm actually live this day here at KPFK. The previous show was pre-recorded, so when they talked about opening this weekend, they were actually talking about opening last weekend, because we thought originally we would be on the air. You've been listening to one of the more dynamic writer-performers here developed in the Los Angeles area, Stacy Chicken, and her director, Pamela Berlin. The show is continuing to run until May 1st, The Dig. And I want to offer you an opportunity, if you're a member of the KPF family, to get some complimentary tickets as members of the KPFK family. So, if you would, send me your request. This is Julio Martinez. I want you to send it to my email, julio@juliomartinez.net. We have limited amount of tickets to give. I will give them off in pairs for the run of the show. So, just give me an email, julio@juliomartinez.net. Put your request and your contact information, and I will get back in touch with you. As was previously stated, following my show is Pacifica Performance Showcase, hosted by Donna Walker. And she has a dynamic interview of one of America's greatest actors, living actors, Mr. Stacy Keach, coming up, because he has an autobiography about out. And as Donna says, it's quite juicy. But Donna will tell you all about that in her interview with Stacy Keach. Once again, this is Julio Martinez for Arts in Review, coming to you 2 to 2:30 every Friday over kpfk.org. 98.7 FM if you're in Santa Barbara, 90.7 if you're here in LA, and if you're wandering the streets of Tokyo right now, you're listening to us live stream around the world over kpfk.org. Thank you for being a supporter of KPFK.
Cigar, host of the Aware Show, and if you would like to support public radio, which KPFK has been in existence for 55 years as a listener-sponsored radio station, we have been here for you whenever you turn on the radio and you want to get great information on health or spirituality or great music or the local news that you can't find anywhere else. That's KPFK. And if you go to kpfk.org, you can support public radio and the movement that it is in this world at any time. So go to kpfk.org, and in the notes section there, say